Welcome. We invite you to enjoy this Word Alive message with Pastor Edwin E. Ford of Crossroads for Life Ministries, a voice in the next move of God. We know you'll be blessed by this spoken word of God as we tune into today's message.
I said, if you got a Bible, if you don't, that's all right, but I got my victory this morning. Somebody was on the brink. If those who need an apology, get one later, but somebody was on the brink of throwing in the towel. Hey, God. The cloud of death was over them. You came in today with a weeping spirit on you. You came in with a heaviness on you. The devil had a plan, but it backfired. You were tired. I'm trying my best to give you something to go home with. In 1 Timothy 1:12, for those who are taking notes, no, I can't get into the message. It's too long, but I need to give you some highlights. The 1 Timothy 1:12. Hallelujah. Put it up right quick for me. Hallelujah. Somebody say it's passed over. It's passed over. Oh God, it's passed over. Those who came in a little later, I sure apologize. You missed the main part. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't move now. You don't preach over when God doesn't move. God said if they come to the altar, he didn't say sitting in seat. He said if they come to the altar and cry out for me, God said, I'm going to cause it to pass over. I don't know what it was. I'm going to say it again. I don't know what it was, but it ain't going to work. Hallelujah. Church, I said it last week. God said, when you hear him, swiftly obey. When you hear God talk, you don't try to figure, you move. And I saw such obedience in this house this morning. Because whatever that cloud that was over you, the enemy had a plan, but it backfired. Hallelujah. Second Timothy 1:12. Oh my, I see people coming in and we going out. I see y'all coming in, but God, hallelujah. As they're coming in, tell them it's Passover. I don't know what the enemy told you the last night. Tell them it's already Passover. Glory to God. I need to remind them it's already, whatever he planned, it's been canceled. He says, for this cause, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able. He is able. Are you persuaded this morning? Are you utterly convinced that he is able? I don't care what the politicians tell you in Washington. I'm persuaded. I don't care what the DAX index tells me on Wall Street. He is still able. I don't care what my inabilities or my lack of is telling me, he is still able. I'm persuaded. Too late, devil, I'm already convinced that my God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know. Tell your neighbor, I know. No. This is not a third party relationship. I know. It was a point in my time and a point in time in my life when my mama knew, my daddy knew, even my brothers and my sisters knew. But now I know. See, when I know, I have the ultimate power of conviction that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Nothing, even sickness, the threat of it, nothing. Hallelujah. Finances or the lack thereof, nothing. relationship, family, or friends, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Because I'm not just born, I'm born of God. I've been born again. And he who's been born of God overcometh this world. And not only do we overcome, the wicked one touches. I need you to get that. The wicked one touches us not spiritually, physically, or soulishly. My mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect is all covered under the blood of Jesus. Somebody say nothing. Hallelujah. We were going to talk this morning, and I will talk on how we talked about knowing God and the importance of knowing God and the vitality and the significance of knowing God. But we do need to lay out the blueprint on how to know God. How to know God. You're telling me about it, Pastor, and it's important, but okay, how to do it? So I want to talk about it in our next session because today we got a long day, but I wanted to get the main thing out of the way, and that's what God wanted me to do. But I want to talk in the next session. So how do we know God? How do we know God? We got four platforms. We're going to deal with them. I'm going to run into them. We got to deal with these four platforms on how to know God. Many of them familiar you, but there's some of you may not have thought about. Quite sure the first platform is very familiar, and it is the first authorized platform. Before you do anything else, before you go outside of this circle, you best stop here first. And that's the Holy Scriptures. You got to be people of the Word. You got to settle this thing. In the beginning, the Word of God is my final authority. Amen. Whose report will you believe? I will always believe. No matter what I feel, no matter what they say, the Word of God is, not going to be, is my final authority. Romans say, let God be true. Yes, and let every man. I don't care how many degrees they got behind their names. I don't care how much experience they got. Let every man. If you're not in agreement with this word, out of the mouth of two or three words, let every word be established. Then we're going to go to the second platform, which is the names of God. The names of God are very, very critical because those are the personal and intimate ways in which you experience the greatness of God in your life on demand. Because in the names of God, we find the dimensions of God. In his name, we find out he's a healer, Rapha. Come on now. In his name, we find out he's peace. Come on now. Shalom. In his name, if you call that name, you get that dimension in your life on demand. Every night, you don't need everything, but I just need something. Sometimes, I just need him to be Shammah. And when I call Shammah, he shows up full blown Shammah. A very present help. In the time of trouble, when the enemy tried to bring conviction and bring condemnation. I need him to sink canoe. I call it because he's my righteousness. To let you know that I'm not righteous because of what I've done, it's because of what he done. Because he who knew no sin became sin that I might become the right. Sink canoe, I need you. You got to know God. Name, because in his names we find out his dimension. They didn't even allow you to call him if you didn't know his dimension. Old Testament, first century saints, they didn't call him unless you knew his name. If you don't know his name, don't call him. In fact, they wouldn't even write his name down. They wouldn't speak it because it was so holy. And whenever he came to his people in an intimate way, he always told them, this is my name. Who shall you? Who Moses said, who shall you say fit me? Tell him. I am. Woo! So you got to have an answer when the world comes on the scene. You got to tell him his name. You got to tell sickness his name. So y'all don't know his name, and so you never met or been intimate with that dimension of God. The third thing that we're going to talk about, we're going to now talk about his descriptions or his names. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ himself. You got to know him in a personal way. Why does I got to learn him in a real real way? I got to know him in a real way. Because until you know God in a very real, intimate way, you'll still believe the lies that the world has given to the church. That's what he came for. He came as a corrective measure. Because God has been mystifying in the Old Testament. I see people today talking about, you know, God is killing, God is allowing people to get raped and killed and all of that. You know, God let this happen. He was a good God. Why he let this happen? You don't know him. You don't know Jesus. No, you know church. You don't know Jesus. The church has did some crooked stuff, but Jesus hadn't. So God said, he came to set the record straight. So when I see people talking out the side of their mouth, I say, you don't know him. I said, I didn't say you know church. I said, you don't know Jesus. Paul didn't know Jesus. He was talking out the side of his mouth. He said, hold on, let me talk to you, brother, on that road to Damascus. Hold on, I'm going to let you know who I am. Why you keep kicking against me? If we had some honest saints in there, tell me, I met him too on my Damascus road. When he knocked me off my high horse, when I thought I knew everything. God will get you where you need to be, y'all. Last platform we're going to talk about is, which I think, Mr. Burton, one of the most important platforms you get to know God, is experience. I'm not saying experience is the best teacher, because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice, but experience is a sound teacher. Because once you go through something, once you go through it, Joseph, you are utterly convinced. I won't have to tell that. I am persuaded. Because many of us, when we say that, it's because of experience. Anybody that's been used mightily in a particular ministry gift, they would tell you that but most of the time when you're used in a very powerful way in a particular area, you usually got a testimony that preceded your usage. And I'm asking a little question. I want to see some hands. How many ask God to use them in a particular way in this room? Anybody here ask God to use you in finances, use you in healing, use you in preaching? Any preachers, anybody ask, I'm going to use me? I see some hands. I know some of y'all scared because you think you're going to get convicted. You already convicted where you stand. And I want to let you know, that's why you're going through what you're going through. You're not going to stand up here preaching no gospel you don't know nothing about. Ezekiel said, till you sat where I sat. You done read all them books and you done become theologically sound, but you ain't got no experience. The letter killeth, but the spirit. You done went to all, you got all these doctors behind your name. It's okay. Now you got to go through your internship. You shoot the pastor, that's not what he meant in that scripture, pastor. You didn't exegete that the right way. Well, it's okay. But when you get executed for the gospel, I want to see if you get up there and execute. But the Lord was telling me, before I lost my left lung, God is able to have you preach out of one lung. Okay. I'm not giving a room. I'm not talking about the size of sin, but I'm saying experience will be one of the most profound teachers, because it's one thing to hear things. It's another thing to see it for yourself. You can challenge what you hear sometimes, but if you saw it yourself, it's hard to challenge that. Amen. Well, we bless the Lord. Everyone, please stand. We're closing. I would like to actually invite you all to come hear me preach. I really want to be respectful with your time. That's why this service has been condensed in the manner in which it is, because I do want you to come out as a church today. We haven't done it in a long time. COVID, all different things have happened that we used to always travel as a church, but this is our first time this year to travel as a church and be a blessing to another ministry. Many times we are looking for things we haven't sowed any seed for. God said, the reason we have, you haven't gotten your own yet because you have not been faithful over that which pertains to another. The Bible tells us to rejoice with them that do rejoice. If only by the party you can laugh at is yours, you're going to be by yourself at many parties. I ain't got no friends. Well, show yourself friendly. It's amazing that people always ain't got no friends. Don't ever let do like nobody else. You don't go to nobody else's party. You don't buy nobody else a gift. And you wonder why nobody don't ever give me nothing because you never give nobody nothing. Golden rule. Reap what you sow. You want it done in your life? Make it happen to somebody else's life. If you ain't got enough to pay your bills, how about be a blessing to somebody else? See, they already shut down when I say that. My pastor, I ain't got enough to pay. That's why you ain't got enough to pay yours. You got to know how to be a blessing. Until it's enough to meet the demand, it ain't nothing but seed. And we want to show a seed of love this afternoon. So I think, getting out of here is definitely for the noonday hour. You have more than enough time to go eat a lunch and a dinner and sleep in the back of the church. You can do all that. We just want you in the house. Amen. So I know we put it up. Oh, there it go. Amen. Amen. Where we're going to be at this afternoon, right down the, as we say in Savannah, down the street, S-C-R-E-T-T.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message of Jesus Christ. Please join us for one of our life-changing services. Service times are Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thursday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. For more information on this ministry, log on to crossroadsforlife.com. And as always, remember, choose life.